man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden mole boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Welcome to the show, folks. You're listening to the Trump Phenomenon. In fact, George, myself, and Paul, and all of us, we're actually inside of the Trump phenomenon. It has really overtaken our world. And here we are, whirling around inside of the Trump phenomenon. We welcome your participation tonight. George, thank you for being here.
Hey, James, I'm thinking of... Where's Waldo was a fad some years ago, and now it looks like, where's Harvey?
Yes, Harvey, where are you?
He went off to Arizona, but he's supposed to go to Europe, and no one's sure just where.
Well, I went on the Weinstein Brothers movie website and to see what's there now, and there was a button for Board of Directors. It says Gallery of the Board of Directors, and guess what, folks? Page not found. Page is gone. those guys have gotten out of Dodge.
404. Page not found.
Well, it's not a 404, but it's there's no content. There is no content on this page. So they cleaned the page off, and they're taking the Weinstein name off of everything they can. And they're contemplating, you know, filing bankruptcy, changing the name of the company, you name it, everything. The world is coming apart for these Weinstein brothers. And I watch so few movies that I'm not a really good movie critic because I don't watch that many. But it just hit me yesterday as I was thinking about Harvey Weinstein. He's the guy that gave us, among other incredibly horrible movies. He gave us Django Unchained. He gave us and Inglourious Basterds. And there are others, but these two movies alone, these two movies are so anti-white. I've never seen all of either movie. I've watched clips, but I don't know if I could sit through Django Unchained or Inglourious Basterds. But these two movies are so anti-white. They're at the very top of the list of the most anti-white movies ever made. And so I really didn't get it as the Harvey Weinstein story broke, that Harvey Weinstein isn't just another typical Hollywood movie mogul. He is really, Paul, and welcome to Paul here in the conversation. Let's see if Paul can hear us. Paul, are you okay there?
I keep going in and out. Can you have the technician call me?
Sure. Engineer. I think the engineer got your message there.
Yeah. Right now, you're okay.
Okay, good.
We hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's not only your typical casting couch, Hollywood Jewish director going, and the stereotype goes way back into the 20s, but he is a major enemy of traditional white people. The garbage he spewed out, and of course he's a huge financial backer of left wing Democrats like Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and a host of others. I mean, he's going to put them in a rather difficult position. Now he may lose a fair deal of his wealth because of all this, but he's been a major funder, and they've schmoozed with him and so on. They've got a lot of splaining to do, especially now. Of course, Bill Clinton has no credibility, but Hillary Clinton is supposed to be a feminist and all that, and a model for young girls and young women. And I mean, I know it's mostly Blarney, but they've got some splaining to do. And you know, I think it behooves white nationalists like ourselves to hold them to it. Come on, you're the ones who have to explain. We're always the ones that are being put on, put under pressure and subject to scrutiny. Well, there's a lot of scrutiny that should be directed in their direction.
Yes, and of course that's going to come now, folks. That's coming. That's no question about that. We already saw the headline. Again, I just make this reference over and over again to Breitbart, but just to give you a provenance of the news. Breitbart reported that Jeff Sessions, his Department of Justice, is now investigating Harvey Weinstein, and this guy, the crime we're talking, you know, this is not just tasteless material. This is criminal material. For instance, here's the latest story at the very top of Breitbart today. Actress Sophie Dix, a pretty looking woman. I don't know anything about her, but she details alleged sex assault by Weinstein at age 22. She says, the single most damaging thing in my life. British actress Sophie Dix opened up to The Guardian this week in a harrowing interview in which she describes in detail an alleged sexual assault by Harvey Weinstein when she was 22 years old, an experience she says derailed her acting career, and which she called the single most damaging thing that's happened in my life. Dix, now 49, told The Guardian that she was on her way up as an actress in 1990 when she met Weinstein at the Savoy Hotel in London, where Weinstein stayed. And I'll skip a little. And she says, she went to the hotel trustingly and naively. As soon as she made it to his room, she realized she'd made a horrible mistake. I remember talk of a massage I thought was pretty gross. He showed me his big back, and I found that pretty horrid. Then
I thought you were leading up to something else.
Yeah. That's, oh, yeah.
You think that's big?
Well, I haven't read this article, so folks, you know, hold on to your seat.
I read a version of it in today's National Post, and apparently the British police are initiating an investigation. Harvey Weinstein may find he's got problems on both sides of the big puddle.
Yeah. Then before I knew it, he started trying to pull my clothes off and pin me down. So this is already rape, folks. And I just kept saying, no, no, no. As soon as she said no, it's rape. But he was really forceful, Dix added. I remember him pulling at my trousers and stuff and looming over me. And I just sort of, she said, I'm a big, strong girl. And I bolted. I ran for the bathroom and locked the door. She remained in the bathroom for a time with the door locked. When she opened the door to leave, Weinstein was standing right there in front of the door. What should I use the term? He was doing himself, okay? And so she quickly shut the door again and locked it. She was only able to escape when she heard the room service cart arrive at the door and made a run for it.
Unbelievable. The guy is a disgusting pig. Now the latest, at least according to the National Post here in Canada, is he's I thought he was going to fly to Europe, but apparently he's in Arizona at some sort of highfalutin addictions clinic, and he's claiming he's a sex addict. But what I'm reading is that there's no credible medical body, even sexologists, who recognize that as an addiction. Strong desires, yes, but it's not something, you know.
Well, he's talking to his attorneys. He's probably got six of them. And his goal now, for folks, I'll tell you what, Harvey Weinstein's only goal right now is stay out of prison, because that's where he's headed. And it won't be a six-month thing or a three-month suspended sentence. It won't be at some kind of community service. He's going to be in the big slammer for a long time. You heard it here.
I think we better strike up a chorus of lock him up.
Oh, Paul, brilliant. That's the thing. For all future Trump rallies, folks, somebody scream out Weinstein, and then everybody else start shouting, lock him up. Beautiful. Dix told the paper the incident completely destroyed her. She remained in bed for 6 months and decided she no longer wanted to be an actress.
Oh, my God.
I decided this is what being an actress is like, and folks, it is, okay? I don't want it, she recalled. Dix added that she was very vocal about the incident at the time, telling friends, family, and coworkers what had happened. But her fellow actresses feared they would be trashed and their careers ruined if they spoke up about it. She also considered bringing the incident to the attention of police, but I was met with a wall of silence, she said. People in the industry didn't want to know about it. They didn't want to hear. She added, I told a lot of people who I thought might be capable of action, and I realized their hands were tied, and they weren't willing to help me in the way I hoped, so I just buried it. You think you go into the film business because you think it is this free-thinking, liberal-minded industry, but actually, it could not be more opposite. It is as antiquated, as sexist, and rigged as they come. And then she said, let's see if there's another detail. And she says it was massively damaging. It is the single most damaging thing that's happened in my entire life. And now, folks, one of the people she told at the time of the alleged assault was Colin Firth, who was already a successful actor. And that he says, now, in The Guardian interviewed him, he feels ashamed that he didn't act when Dix came to him with details of the incident right after it happened. So there's a major actor, Colin Firth, says, yeah, she did tell me right after it happened. Yeah, I did nothing. So on this one incident alone, Harvey Weinstein goes on rape to prison for years, just on this one incident. But now, here's what we're getting.
Well, James, not to niggle about it, but he, according to that story, he didn't actually get to have sex with her. He tried to. I'm not sure. That's probably attempted rape, and it's not a good thing. But
you know, the definition of rape has changed over the years, and I'm not up on it, but I wouldn't be surprised. Surely, at least attempted rape, yes. And you go to prison for that. So but now here's the interesting twist to this, folks, a new wrinkle. We've heard from the starlets of today who were raped and groped and poked by Harvey Weinstein. Okay, now, and yes, I'm deliberately mispronouncing his name in six different other ways. He doesn't deserve the respect of a correct pronunciation of his name, whatever the hell it may be. So now we're going to hear, though, imagine this, Paul, if he's been doing this for decades, for 30 years, for a long time, there must be hundreds and hundreds of women, and let's assume just women, maybe men are going to come forward, but hundreds and hundreds of women who did not make it to the top in the movies because they said no, or, you know, they just got raped and that was all they got. So we're going to hear from lots of people now, like this lady, whose career was cut short, Sophie Dix. She's going to inspire lots of other women to come forward and tell their stories. This will be a what do they say? A stampede, Paul.
I think this would be a watershed moment. I think this is very important on both sides of the Atlantic. The United Kingdom has been reeling for several years with scandal after scandal of very well-placed people, some of them entertainers, who it turns out were diddling kids for years. Some of them were pedophiles, like the head of the Board of British Deputies, which is the major Jewish umbrella group in the UK, Lord Granville Jenner guy. He was very late in life convicted, not just accused, convicted of pedophilia. That's for the young boys. And at the last minute, he couldn't actually serve a sentence because they said he was senile, even though he voted in the House of Lords the very day before. But he's dead now. But another person, and I don't think he was just a pedophile. I think he was an equal opportunity predator. Didn't mind what the ages were. Was a zany British entertainer named Jimmy Savile, and he was famous for playing benefits at orphanages and places for youth and so on. He was just a shameless predator. All sorts of people knew about it, but nobody wanted to criticize the great man. And he had a good reputation, lots of entertainment supporters and contacts. And it sounds as though the people that this actress or would-be actress spoke to in Britain ran into the same sort of wall. These people tend to be protected because they're powerful and nobody really wants to cross them.
Yes, and, yes. And,
that's why this is bringing this monster down is far more important than bringing to down the, you know, your stereotypical schoolyard dirty old man who, you know,
yes,
in the schoolyard and this flashes the raincoat. Well, that's bad, of course, and he's got to be punished. But this guy was a protected predator for several decades. It's
right.
Outrageous.
And he was, folks, he was steering our culture with his filthy movies. His movies, which reflect the morality that he exhibited here with Sophie Dix. And so it is very global. You're right, Paul. This extends all over the place. The question of political correctness, the question of suppression of truth. And we're going to talk about that, by the way, suppression of truth in just a moment, because I want to shift, Paul, just for a moment, if I may. It's very connected. I'm so glad you're here, because the last two nights when you weren't here, I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about Rudyard Kipling and a tribute that Rudyard Kipling made to you Canadians at a meeting of the Royal Society of Literature in London on July 12th, 1933, at the Claridge Hotel. And visiting there were I'm going to connect all this, folks. The Canadian Authors Association was visiting. And you would know better than I do, Paul, who would be the prominent authors likely to be in that audience in July of 1933. But this was a very prominent delegation of Canadian authors. They were touring through Britain, hosted by the Royal Society of Literature. And Rudyard Kipling addressed them. And how important was Rudyard Kipling? Well, folks, Henry James, let me see, what was Henry James's estimation of Kipling? He said, if I can find it, he said that, oh my gosh, I can't find it at this moment, but I'll come back to that. But let's listen to Rudyard Kipling addressing the Canadian Authors Association. And the way this came up, Paul, when you were with us, we referred to this poem. Let me read the poem, because something that Harvey Weinstein is doing is he is awakening the wrath of the Saxon.
Yes.
And here's this short poem. I'll read it, written by Rudyard Kipling. It was not part of their blood. And by the way, well, we'll come back to the poem right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me,
we're back, folks. And there are only five short stanzas here in this poem entitled The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. And about whom is this written? It's about you, folks, in this audience. You are the Awakened Saxon. It's unimportant whether you actually have Saxon, specifically Saxon roots. If your roots are Huguenot or, Alsatian, Norwegian, you're the Saxon, the white man. And here's the poem. It was not part of their blood. That's your blood he's talking about. And by the way, Paul, in a moment, he talks about your Canadian blood in a very complimentary way.
Right.
It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxon began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy, willing to wait till every count should be proved ere the Saxon began to hate.
The sense of justice, not
yeah.
just accusations, justice.
Yes, and so we're going to nail you to the wall, Harvey, because we're going to get every count. Their voices were even and low. Their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxon began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd. It was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxon began to hate. It was not suddenly bred. It will not swiftly abate. through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxon began to hate. And that's the end. Now, that's in my, you know, paltry version. Now let's listen now to Rudyard Kipling himself talking about Canada and the Canadians. Let me find him here. Where is he? This is really beautiful. Here it is. And he talks about truth. He talks about our obligation. Paul, you're a writer, that what you're about is telling the truth. And he talks about your blood also.
Out of our past, in our present, and for our future, are yours by right. They are doubly yours, since the dominant strains of your blood draw from those twin races, French and English, which, throughout their history, have been most resolute not to be decivilized on any pretext or for any gain. Mm-hmm. Sure. By the way, you have my deepest sympathy. For it was given to me once to see Canada en bloc. I had known portions of it, of course, many years before. But this was one prodigious sweep from Quebec to Victoria and back again. Through three amazing weeks, it was my turn to be shown things. To listen to prophecies which the next 10 years showed fell far short of the accomplished fact. And above all, to feel the moral pulse of a land and a people, free as their own heirs, and yet set in most ancient and sane practice of justice, honor, and self-control.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to grasp all these things because they were just as much mine as all things here are yours.
Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think that type of talk like that would be given anywhere certainly in North America, outside perhaps an American Renaissance meeting. The talk about the strength of the two founding races of Canada, that has so gone down the memory hole, or at least become so politically incorrect, it would be seen as the equivalent of screaming seagull.
Yes,
that's how it degenerated in 70 years.
And let me read this to you. We'll go back to Kipling and his, you know, folks, a mind like that, thinking like that, the clarity. It's just, well, here's what some people consider. We'll come back with this in a moment. But this is a magical time there that with Rudyard Kipling. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
We're back, folks. Thanks for joining us. And let's pick up where we were. That magnificent poem by Rudyard Kipling, and let's go back to the audio of Rudyard Kipling himself, and those memorable words, Paul. He said that you Canadians insist that you not be decivilized on any pretext or for any gain. And then other words, you know, more eloquent than the sort of thing you hear today. The Canadians are free as their own heirs, and yet set in most ancient and sane practice of justice, honor, and self-control. Oh my! Well, and then just to give you the measure of Rudyard Kipling, how important is he in our history? Well, some people rank the American author Henry James among the half dozen greatest writers of all time, right up there with Shakespeare, with Tolstoy, with Dostoevsky. And here's what Henry James said about, let me find it, about Rudyard Kipling. He said, "Kipling strikes me personally as the most complete man of genius, as distinct from fine intelligence, that I have ever known."
That's very high praise. He fell into a lot of disfavor, because he was a very strong supporter of the British Empire and of imperialism. but there is now a kind of a countercurrent in English scholarship recognizing him as a very subtle writer with a lot of insight and a tremendous craftsman in poetry. You know, the ballad is deceptively simple because it's easy to understand. It's not easy to write. It's not easy to write because there's so much rhyme and often so much internal rhyme, like a rhyme within a line. You know, a lot rhyme in the middle, which will rhyme with the word at the end. Writing ballads is not easy, and Kipling was a master of that. And I think as a technician, I'm pretty sure T.S. Eliot recognized that too in him, even though Eliot was a very different type of poet. Kipling was a great man with really great racial insights.
And speaking of our own Henry James, who, folks, by the way, was the brother of the American philosopher, regarded as the greatest American philosopher, William James, Henry James gave away the bride when Rudyard Kipling married. People don't know this. He married an American, a beautiful American girl named Caroline Carey Starr Ballesteer, who is from New England. And in fact, she is my eighth cousin, Carey Ballesteer. But Henry James gave her away at their wedding in London in 1892. And she was there to hear this speech that you just heard Kipling give. He's talking, it's a magnificent, at the Claridge Hotel there in London. It's a large crowd. People are seated at elegant tables. They've eaten some sort of lunch there. And it's a beautiful light, beautiful glass. It's just incredibly beautiful. And when he said, "You have my sympathy," he was saying to the Canadians, they were in the process of doing a tour of England to see the great places of the great authors of England. So I'm sure they'd go to Stratford-on-Avon and so on. And he said, "You have my sympathy," because he did a similar tour of Canada some years earlier. And the let's just go to another section, a point of this. I think this is so important, folks, because that ballad, that poem, The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, that's an important one. Kipling, you know, and this past that we're recovering, when Donald Trump says, "Make America great again." Well, the great again part of our history is people like Henry James and Rudyard Kipling. Let's listen to him rather than me, just for another moment, if we can. I'm so glad, Paul, you're here. I've been waiting to play this, waiting for you.
"But not till long after my return did the significance of them begin to break upon me. Then my experiences and impressions clarified and arranged themselves. And as I sorted them out in my head, I found that I had the key to them all the time in my heart. It will be the same to you on your return. Because one's own heart is the best place in which to store the few things of life that really matter. Fellows of the Royal Society of Literature, my lords, ladies and gentlemen, let us wish prosperity and health to the Canadian Authors Association."
He coughed there in the middle of saying the Canadian Authors Association, which was the official title of your group, Paul.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Paul.
Yes, that was very, very powerful. I just saw something online. This is from InfoWars that I think is on the topic we were talking about a bit earlier about Spielberg, about Weinstein.
Yes.
This is a prediction made 4 years ago by none other than by Steven Spielberg. And I thought it's really quite interesting.
Yes.
He said that Hollywood was going to implode. This is not specifically about Weinstein, but about the just the culture. Hollywood will implode. It was a speech back in October 2013. He says the implosion of Hollywood is inevitable, and it seems that that prediction is coming true. The Spielberg said that in the coming years, the film industry would be altered forever as movies with $500 million budgets would ultimately tank Hollywood, which was already suffering from a top-heavy management system and abuses. That's the big danger. And there's eventually going to be an implosion. These are his direct words. A big meltdown, he said at the speech at the University of Southern California. There's going to be an implosion where three or four or maybe even half dozen mega-budget movies are going to go crashing to the ground, and that's going to be a part of the paradigm. Already, of course, now the Weinstein Company is collapsing. Talent agencies and financiers are going to pull away from the company, stained by Weinstein's predation on hopeful women. The equity is likely to get wiped out. Anyway, there's more to it. But there couldn't be a better thing in terms of entertainment than the destruction of Hollywood. It has pumped distortions and garbage into the Western culture for 70 years. I mean, Henry Ford was warning about that in the 20s.
You mentioned Steven Spielberg. I got a chance. The only time I've met Steven Spielberg was just on the streets of Santa Monica near my place there in Santa Monica. Where Hybrid, by the way, Miramax was based in Santa Monica, is based in Santa Monica. And Miramax and Harvey Weinstein, both of those companies have been run by the Weinsteins. Anyway, I was just walking along on 2nd Street there in Santa Monica near the mall, and which is very trendy, very glitzy, lots of movie stars on that thing. And anyway, getting out of the car, helping his wife out of the car right in front of me was Steven Spielberg. So I accosted him. And I said, you know, I've heard that you're going to make a movie about Charles Lindbergh. You paid $1 million to Scott Berg for his bio of a Jewish author for his bio of Lindbergh. And I said, don't trash Lindbergh. Don't lie about Lindbergh. And then I told him I'd get him a copy of Lindbergh's article in the November 1939 issue of Reader's Digest, Aviation, Geography, and Race, in which Charles Lindbergh says, unless we band together to preserve that most priceless possession, our inheritance of European, as Rudyard Kipling says, blood. And look, Spielberg looked like he'd gotten, smacked in the head. and just before I saw Spielberg, I actually ran into the star that he was planning to feature in the film, which was, Tom Hanks. I was getting gas at a station just a block away from that very spot, and Tom Hanks was filling his car. So I went over and I talked to Tom Hanks for about half an hour on the same subject, Lindbergh's amazing career. Hanks was scheduled to be the tall Charles Lindbergh. And I said, Tom Hanks, you're famous for being very truthful about your roles, just buttering him up. And I said, I know you'll be truthful about Lindbergh. And then I started quoting, because I have them memorized, those quotes from that article. I said, I'll get you a copy of this, Mr. Hanks, and I know you're going to be faithful to Lindbergh. And guess what? That movie that was scheduled for making, they spent millions of dollars on it, canceled. And I talked to both the director, the producer, and the star. And I said, you better be truthful about Lindbergh. and I guess I was telling the Saxon is coolly with level eyes looking at you as you make this movie. Anyway, boy, that was really a treat there to hear Rudyard Kipling. And let me before we lose time today, there's so many good things going on, folks. We can't cover them in this little tiny show. Breitbart, Steve Bannon will be the keynote speaker at the California Republican Convention on October 20th. Right around the corner, folks, in exactly 1 week. This is huge news. What this is saying is that Steve Bannon, who is a Rudyard Kipling of our time, in a way, Steve Bannon has the support of the Trump train of you folks. And so he has, as he says, he now has power. He is, as Sebastian Gorka said, the second most powerful man in America. He is going to give the key, not an address, the keynote address at the Republican convention in California. Now, a lot of you have given up. You've thrown in the towel on California. The story I just gave you is from Santa Monica. But folks, the most powerful Republican state still is California. California still has more patriots, more money, more horsepower than any other state. So this is very, very big Steve Bannon is going to give the keynote address. This is a huge event, Paul.
Yeah, in California. That's very good.
Yes, I mean, it's amazing. The article says that, of course, Steve Bannon runs Breitbart. So it's his own article. It says his address should set an anti-establishment tone for the convention and inject enthusiasm into California's grassroots Republican base, which has been depressed by years of battling their own party leadership. So this is just, I mean, this is going to be in exactly 1 week. We'll cover it. He may be speaking when we go on the air next Friday. Let's hope. So that's a big, big event that's coming up. Let me look at the caller board here. Let me see if anybody's called in. I didn't even give out the number, 800-313-9443. I was so excited about that. You're here, that Paul, to hear that Rudyard Kipling. No, I don't see any callers. Okay, George in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's on your mind?
You know, the thing is, hearing about Hollywood imploding and the political establishment and both parties imploding, you know, the thing is, we can egg it on and cheer it on, but here's the downside of it, is that we got to fill in the vacuum that they left behind.
Okay, now, George, let me make you happy. Steve Bannon, guess what his career includes? He's a Hollywood producer. Steve Bannon has made important movies. He's made important television shows. This guy has really been on the inside. He's even been on the inside of Goldman Sachs, where he made a lot of money. So this, look forward to an amazing, I'll tell you what, if you think we're excited about the fall of Harvey Weinstein, I'll tell you what, Steve Bannon probably has not been able to sleep in days. He's so excited. Go ahead, George.
Well, even like some actors tweeting, they're happy Weinstein's being dealt with. And I could tell, I just think a lot of these actors, I just think, they've been compromised, defiled. And I think Weinstein is probably one of the ways of coming out, trying to break free from this.
Paul, was it George or Paul who made the point that Harvey Weinstein is just the beginning? Because is he the only one? Hardly. He might not even be the worst. So there are other explosive stories in fact, some of these stories are already breaking. There's a Buttman story going around. Apparently there's some producer who liked to grab the butts of young men, aspiring actors. And you can fill in the rest for yourself. So this guy is exploding on the scene. Buttman,
What about the actor Corey Feldman?
Well, I don't know any specifics on that one, but I'm just saying this is going to be more than any of us can cover. And let me tell you, I'll give you as another. This is an amazing thought.
The wiener man. Now you've got the butt man.
yeah, we got it all, folks.
It looks good.
Yeah, but now get this. This is such a hot story that Breitbart actually has a minute by minute continuing blog update on the story. So they're filing updates every 20 minutes. They give you an update because about every 20 minutes, there's another bomb that goes off in the Weinstein story. So, my gosh, this is amazing. So, George, now round out your thought. We'll run out of time. Go ahead, George.
Well, you know, not only with Hollywood, but also in organized religion, you know, I've noticed that's starting to implode, and I really think, because I even noticed, even in my area, there's a lot of home churches springing up. Home churches compared to the organized religion. Because I really think the organized religion, Hollywood, sports, politics, your political status is all imploding, and it's going to be we the people are going to fill in the vacuum. That's what makes it so exciting. No matter if it's
well,
the church, what's that?
Yeah, well, George, here. Well, good comment, George. And
right, well,
thank you,
you,
by
I'll
the way. All right, thank you, George, for all the good stuff you guys do down in Texas. And we're going to have one more segment after we get our next break, folks. But so stay tuned. Paul, the mic will be yours after we get back. And you too, George. You could weigh in after we get back. Stay tuned.
Still last 10 years like the show. The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way.
We're back, folks. We've just got one little tiny segment left to go. And I guess we'll end where we began with Harvey Weinstein. Yes, I'm doing it that intentionally.
I want Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey is fried.
We
had Mr. Wiener and Weinstein all within 6 months of each other getting in big trouble.
Didn't the Wiener man pull a few six months in prison?
Yeah, he might be in prison right now. But Weinstein's going to get off scot-free. He's not going to serve 1 minute in anybody prison.
Yes, and of course his love interest is Huma Abedin, Huma Abedin
is a better set of better prescription glasses.
Yes, and this gets embarrassing. Ivanka Trump's good friend is Huma Abedin.
She's a Hamas agent.
Yeah. So this is folks. This you couldn't make this up. Paul and I and George, we sat down to try to make it up as a fairy tale. A dream come true for us. You couldn't make it up. Wouldn't be believable. Now I'll tell you what. Breitbart is so all over this. Another of their articles that just went up in the Harvey Weinstein saga, Young Lives Forever Altered. And what they're doing now is they're cataloging all these women, some famous, some whose careers were just simply crushed at the beginning. And they're telling their stories, and they are heartrending stories. Women who, you can read it yourself, Evans, a college student, aspiring actress, when she met Weinstein, told The New Yorker that Weinstein forced her to perform oral sex on him at the Miramax Tribeca offices in 2004. She changed careers. And somebody told her, refused to have a threesome. She was told, you'll never make it in this business when she refused. And she gave up acting. Here's another one named Tomi Ann Roberts. She had her audition. Weinstein interviewed her from his bathtub and told her she would need to get naked for him if she wanted to play the character in question.
Yahoo!
She gave up acting. She's now a psychology professor at Colorado College.
That becomes a crime. That's essentially coercing somebody or attempting to coerce them to do something. And they've gotten away with that type of thing for far too long. I hope this will bring him down.
We're certainly going to cover it here. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. We will take a day off tomorrow, but we'll rejoin you on Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time with more of this story.
And Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Thanks, Paul. Glad you were here tonight. And thank you, George. So long.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.